Welcome. I'm James Theravant. I'm a technical evangelist out of Boston for Microsoft, and I'm sitting here with Gregor today from Hoodie, and I'm really excited to be talking to you about building open source communities. Gregor, will you tell us a little bit about yourself and the Hoodie?
Yeah, hi James. Thanks so much for having me today. I'm Gregor. I'm originally from Poland and Germany. I'm a web developer since over 15 years now, and I love open source and its communities. And I'm one of the initiators behind the Hoodie open source community, and currently I'm managing the code team.
Cool. So Hoodie's recognized as one of the most diverse open source communities out there. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so maybe a little bit more about Hoodie. What is Hoodie? Hoodie is an open source community that above all aims to empower as many people as possible to use technology to express themselves. And we do that by creating a simple server which lets you build applications with just HTML, JavaScript, and CSS. And you will get the full typical data-driven applications with it. So you have data storage and persistence and accounts, but you don't have to worry about it. So if you know JavaScript, you can build full-stack applications. So we are trying to lowering the barrier of entry to build these kind of distributed apps. And so, yeah, besides the code, Hoodie has an editorial team, which is promoting our mission to the wider community and is amplifying the voices that we think should be heard more through things like our newsletter and regular blog posts on our Hoodie blog. We have a design team which makes sure that our website and example applications are accessible and easy to use. And we have a documentation team and soon an education team. So we have a very diverse community with coders, but also many other people. And maybe two other things regarding Hoodie. People heard from Hoodie, I think, because of Offline First, which is something that came out of the community, which means that apps work with and without an internet connection. And Hoodie apps are offline first by default. And then we created tools like Semantic Release and now Greenkeeper, which are now widely used in the Node.js community. Okay. So sorry, just to give you an introduction of what Hoodie and its community is.
That's really cool. So it's more than just developers. You've got all sorts of people involved in that community.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe to talk a little bit more about what do I mean with empowering people to express themselves with technology, that is such a nice mission statement, which doesn't say much, I know. But what we think is that technical literacy by now is, I guess, widely accepted, you know, as a basic skill besides maths and reading and writing. And just as, you know, not everyone is writing books the same way, not everyone will create applications for thousands of people. But people should be able to solve their own problems. And if they are not able to do that in future, they will be cut off. So this is kind of the motivation behind Hoodie for all, not only coders, but also the designers, the storytellers, and so on. So why do we have different teams? When you work on open source, you do it mostly today because you love the code and you love just like doing the fun coding, you know, without any constraints. What will happen is if you have a successful project, then earlier or later, you will need to handle communication with other people and be people who report bugs and send pull requests. And earlier than you think, you will spend more time on, you know, going through GitHub issues and pull requests, then you spend time on code and there is a lot of frustration coming out of it. There are burnouts, there are a lot of good blog posts on this matter. And I think one reason that many people don't think about when we call and ask and promote more diversity in our industry is that it's a very good investment for you to have more fun on your own work, because the same way that many of us enjoy working on code, there are actually other people who really enjoy talking to other people. And there are people who love, you know, empowering or helping new people getting started with your code. And there are people who really like respond to issues and only, you know, direct you to the issues that really need your attention. There are people who love the mission behind your code, the things you want to achieve. And the same way you turn an idea into software, they can turn your ideas into a workshop, an event, a book, whatever it is. And if you don't actively invest into making your projects more diverse and more welcoming for other perspectives, then you will miss out on all of that.
Cool. So we're talking about diversity from multiple different angles, I guess.
Yes. So, I mean, diversity means a lot of things. When we talk about diversity, we usually mean, you know, gender, ethnicity. This was just another example, which is a diversity in perspectives and interests. Of course, we have in tech, like in many other industries, a problem with diversity in terms of gender and ethnicity, age. And that alone, we think, is reason enough to invest into diversity. It is our responsibility to do that. And this is also why Hoodie is that diverse, because from the beginning, the people who started it, together with me, there was Jan Leonard and Alex Feierke, Kaylin McCone, and Lena Reinhardt. We all made our experiences with startups and other open source projects, and we wanted to make things different and make things right. So from the beginning, we made sure that everything on communication we put out there is inclusive and welcoming. That was 4 years ago. So, you know, we only got recognized or get a lot of attention in the past year. But truth is, we set the foundation for 3 years before we got there. But I would like to talk about other aspects of diversity, you know, besides the fact that it's our, or I think it's our responsibility to do it, and that should be reason enough. I also want to bring up a few benefits that every open source project and every open source code contributor will get from investing into open source. So that's kind of the idea that I have today.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, we're going, and you're talking about diversity in a sense that goes a little bit beyond the ethnicity and gender and race and all of that. It's, you're also talking about taking in new perspectives and bringing people that do work with various components of the open source project, not just coding.
Yeah. It's so there is also another aspect where we just don't know on what we miss out until we actually reach out for it. For example, and not only in our code, also in our events, the kind of people that we see speaking are oftentimes very confident people. You know, they're confident with themselves, they think they have something to say, so they actively, you know, reach out to these meetups and conferences, submit their proposals. But there are a lot of other people who have a lot of anxiety. They are afraid. They just don't feel comfortable to stand in front of people. They think they don't have anything to say, which is just not true. And it's not enough for us to say, oh, you know, just do whatever. Like, oh, you're new to JavaScript. Just make a talk about your experiences. And this is the wrong narrative. We cannot say, come just here and talk to us, because the truth is they have a different perspective. And it's not there, but it's our responsibility to actively support these people, to give them a voice. Because if we don't, then we will miss out on a lot of good ideas and a lot of amazing perspectives. Just because someone is not confident doesn't mean that they don't have a very important, you know, valuable input to our projects. And this is certainly something that Hoodie benefits from a lot.
Yeah, could you give us maybe an example of that?
Yeah, so I mean, maybe the editorial team that we started last year and now is very actively and well managed by Jen Turner, does amazing work. And the nice thing is it happens by now without me knowing or doing anything. So it takes some time to, you know, get these people on board and explain what Hoodie is, but then they just go with it. And if you read the Hoodie newsletter and the TGIF, you will be blown away. Like, I personally, I am blown away by the amazing resources that we get every week from our editorial team. It's so helpful for me to, you know, go through this list and read all these posts that I'll link there. And if you wouldn't have such a good editorial team who understands what we try to achieve and translating it into a very, you know, into a very good list of resources and blog posts, then this would never happen. Sure. And without their amazing work, Hoodie wouldn't have that big outreach it has today with these little resources that we have as an open source project.
Yeah, often when you think about an open source project, you don't really think about having an editorial team. You think about just writing the code. So that's part of that diversity and inclusion that's bringing a whole new level to your open source projects.
Yeah, let me give you a quote that I hear pretty often, that I heard from several people who are working on the editorial team now. It's something like, I always thought that open source is this secretive party for these coders and nobody else is invited. Hmm. This is how it is perceived.
Sure.
And once they realize, no, this is for everyone, they actually really, really enjoy being part of it. And they love the dynamics of open source. They love the collaboration on the writing, just the way we love the collaboration on our code. But the perception out there is wrong. And I think if, you know, we want to invite more people into our communities, then we have to actively change the narrative around open source and open source communities. And with Hoodie, I think we put out a very good example that this is possible without any funding, without a corporate sponsor, just with persistence and, you know, goodwill. And the benefits are amazing, I think. And I hope that many other open source projects will follow lead, and we are happy to help anyone, you know, if there are any questions. We are always happy to support other projects as well with our experiences.
Yeah, I love that idea of taking open source just beyond the code and bringing in other people, having them work on these things. And they're still getting some of the things that we get out of working on the projects from a code perspective, but
yeah,
they're getting it from the writing and sharing and teaching and those kinds of perspectives. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So what are some of the keys to your success for growing this? It sounds like you spent a lot of time thinking about it, and making sure you're growing the community in the way you want to be growing it. What are some of the things, like concrete things that you're doing to do this?
I think what it comes down to me is that projects love contributors and people love contributing. And this is not only true for code, this is also true for many other things. But there is a very big gap between projects and people who never contributed to open source before. This is something that I learned. I mean, it sounds obvious, but this is something that I learned from my work on Hoodie in the past year, maybe. So what we try to do is we try to close this gap as much as possible. And there are several things that we do. Starting with the code, we threw away our Hoodie code from the past 3 years, and we recreated it with new contributors in mind. We optimized it to lower the barrier for people to contribute to Hoodie as much as possible. So for example, we modularized it a lot. There are now a lot of very small modules in Hoodie instead of having one big project, one big code base, which means you do not have to understand the entire, you know, Hoodie code ecosystem to contribute something small. You can take a very, very little module, which is well tested and well documented, and pick an issue there and solve it, and then slowly, step by step, grow more into the code base. That is something that was a lot of investment, but it just works very, very well. Another one, okay, maybe this is the first one. It should go without saying. you do need a code of conduct. It doesn't matter how much fun your project is and how, you know, people love your work. If people don't feel safe and if people don't feel that you take their security serious, then they will not contribute to your project. And it's really not a lot to do. Add a code of conduct to your project and make sure you have actionable items to handle situations whenever it's needed. Next, of course, make testing, documentation, this is still for the code, very, very good. Every minute you spend on your tests and your code coverage and documentation pays off 100 times in terms of contributors, especially new contributors to your project. Another one is the release of the code. In the past, or still today, when you contribute to an open source project, especially in the Node ecosystem where we have this big NPM registry, when you submit a pull request and it gets accepted, it can take some time until the maintainers actually release the fix. This is something that you don't want to have. You want, the moment something gets merged, you want to have a release out there immediately. This will help a lot for the people who fix the bug for you because they did it for themselves, and they will come back because the experience is amazing. And for that, we wrote semantic release. So make sure to check it out because it automates everything for us in terms of releasing. Then more generic, not only for code, but really for everyone, we started a thing called starter issues. And starter issues means we put a lot of effort in describing what is the problem here, what needs to be solved, and then make like a checklist of what are the steps to resolve this issue. For example, in code, we even write the tests already and just comment them out and make one of these checkpoints, go to this file, to these lines, comment out the test, run the test, they will fail, and now figure out how to solve it. You know, and we add things like this is the commit messages that we want and so on. And this is important for three reasons. The obvious reason is it makes it simpler for new contributors to contribute to your code. But if you compare it to the effort it takes to prepare this, I agree it maybe is not worth it.
That was maybe my question, yeah.
It's quite a lot of effort, but we can talk about it, how to streamline that. The second thing is, think about the message this sends. It's not only the person who will take the issue and work on it, but probably 50, 100, 200 people will maybe see this issue if you tweet about it. And it looks like you would roll the red carpet for new contributors to your open source project. And just, it feels, or like, people can just tell that you are serious about this. You are really welcoming to open source contributors. So it goes much, much beyond this one single bug fix and much beyond the single contributor who took it. It's about the message that it sends. And the third reason is open source is not only contributing, open source is also maintaining and reviewing code. And it's not enough to grow your contributor space if you don't grow your maintainer space. If you don't grow the people who are able to review code and merge it, then you will burn out as well. And if you have the starter issues, they are also great to review code because the maintainers can go through the same checklist and see if everything was done as prepared. So that is another reason. And with these three reasons, it's definitely worth the efforts. And I don't know why not more projects are doing it right now.
So you're really, I mean, it sounds like you're, when you're giving that message by creating these starter issues, you're really saying, hey, we want to be inclusive. We want you to come and join us. And sounds like a great thing to be doing.
Yeah. I've created a blog post with a short screencast on our Hoodie blog, how we do the starter issues. Maybe we can link to them in the release notes of this
cool
interview.
And so anything else you want to add there?
Something that is very important is to show your appreciation for contribution. And it doesn't matter how big you think this contribution is. It doesn't matter if it you know, just fixing a typo or if it's adding an entire new feature. Because every contribution is in the context of a human being. And just for an example, you know, if you have a student probably who, you know, learns software development since 4 years, lives with their parents, they have a lot of time and they can take the time and they want to contribute and they want to grow on it. On the other side, maybe there is a mother with, you know, single mother with two kids who wants to change careers so she doesn't need to do 3 jobs and just can do one. So in the evening hours, she learns coding and then also wants to get into open source. And for her, a contribution could be just a single small fix. Now, what contribution is more important? It's not for us to tell. So don't be too subjective. Appreciate every contribution that you get, because behind every contribution there is a human being and a story that you don't know. Also, I am very lucky. I'm married to a behavioral economist. And my wife does a lot of studies, field studies on volunteer environments. And one of her studies was on Wikipedia. She created an just symbolic award that she gave to new editors, and it increased the retention rate by 25%.
What was the reward?
So the reward was just a graphic that you put on their discussion page saying thank you for your contribution. Okay. And that is all. And the impact was very, very big, as you can tell. And there are also a lot of other things and insights that I have from her work, so I know and understand dynamics better than others maybe in volunteer environments, and definitely make sure that you show appreciation for your contributors. For us, that means as soon as you contribute something, we offer you to become a team of the Hoodie contributors. That way we also win a lot of contributors. And then, you know, you have dynamics like, oh, they want to live up to being a Hoodie contributor now, so they will continue to contribute most of the time. We give them a shout out on Twitter if we can, if they want to. We also make regular shout out blog posts where, you know, we make kind of like, these are the new contributors in the past weeks, and these are the people who helped us reviewing code, and here is something interesting that, I don't know, maybe Jen worked on, and so on. So we kind of want to institutionalize these appreciations, and we are just starting with it. Like, I think we want to and must get better at this. Yeah. And I think that I hope that our tools for that will get better, because there are not many ways to show appreciation in open source projects right now. I mean, now there are like this emoji reactions, which is an interesting start, but I think we can do better than that. And you can be sure that interesting things will come out of the Hoodie community in that regard. That are things that I'm working on.
Cool. Looking forward to seeing more of that. But you're seeing success with it already. I think I saw a Twitter post or something. You had about 10 contributors in the last, like, I don't know what you guys call them, sprints maybe?
Yeah. So the last shout out was, yeah, we had 10 new contributors, many of which never contributed to open source before.
That's awesome.
At least one person who is not even a coder. I mean, I say not even a coder, I don't mean it in a negative way. But yeah, it works. And we know that we kind of carving this way for our projects right now. And I know that others cannot or do not want to invest as much time as we do into this. And that's okay. But I hope that we can create tools that will make all these best practices that can come out from our experiences just much, much easier. I think, like, just imagine our tools for community management would be as good as our tools around code collaboration. Like, the way we have today to test our code coverage, the integration with GitHub, automated CIs, continuous deployment, it's amazing. It's amazing what I can do as a single developer today compared to 10 years ago. And I think if we would invest as much efforts towards our community management, we could have a whole different open source world out there. And this is what we are working towards.
That's awesome. It's a great vision. Do you have any specific ideas in that space?
Yeah, I mean, for example, the starter issues, it's a lot of copy and paste right now. It's a lot of repetitive work. And I think we can automate the process. I don't know, like, for example, I could imagine I just comment out a piece of code in the tests. I push it with a specific branch name, like first timer issue something. And then we have a service who is listening to it. And as soon as there is a branch with which follows this format, the service knows, okay, this I shall turn this into a starter issue. And then it can take away a lot of work from me. And maybe in the end, the only thing I have to do is prepare tests, and everything else just happens automatically. So instead of creating 5 starter issues in a day, I can create 50. Another thing that I would love to do and is actually a bot. And this is older than all the buzz we have around bots right now. But I think it would be amazing to have like a hoodie bot, which is on GitHub and in our chat, whom we could ask questions like, hey, who is, like how many people are you contributed to Hoodie for the first time in the past 10 days? Or can you merge this pull request for me and follow our, commit conventions? I don't know, like there are endless ideas that we have, and I think kind of like a chat interface would be perfect for it to empower as many people as possible to work with it. Also other things like, let's say someone created an issue and there is no response within 3 days, then our bot could come in and say, I'm very sorry that nobody reacted yet. I will ping, Gregor and Jen now because I know they're in your time zone and they will follow up shortly. So they can also, these are not new ideas, but I think I would love to have a platform to create such a bot specifically for open source community management tasks. And there's a lot of potential there. Cool. But this is just something that goes to my mind.
These are just ideas at this point.
Yeah, it's tough because, of course, nobody is paying me for this work. Like my own company kind of cross-finances my work on open source. It's a whole different topic to how to sustain an open source project financially. We could do it another time.
Yeah.
But that only means that it will take longer. But it's definitely something that we want to work on and where we want to invite, of course, others to help us creating these tools, just the way we invite others to work with us on Hoodie.
Very cool. So it sounds like you gave us your vision and some of the stuff you're doing right now, and we can definitely move forward. I think you've given a lot of concrete examples on how to build this inclusiveness and some of the ways that you could build open source community. I think that's great. Is there anything else you want to kind of say it towards the end of this conversation here, and maybe shout outs I know there's just been a lot of really great stuff that's come out of the work that you guys have done. One of the ones that I think I've heard of is your first PR came out of this work.
Yes. Yeah. So your first PR is a project by Charlotte Spencer. Charlotte is based in the UK, and she, I think, found Hoodie one day, found a typo, fixed the typo. It was their first contribution to open source, and she really liked the experience. And she liked it that much that she wanted to contribute something meaningful. They wanted to contribute something meaningful, and they then learned accessibility just to be able to contribute accessibility and resolve accessibility issues at Hoodie, which is a Twitter account that you can follow. And every now and then, your first PR is tweeting about issues which are very well prepared, like the Hoodie starter issues, which are perfectly for people who want to contribute to open source for the very first time, or want to contribute to open source projects that are not projects we contribute to today. So it's a very nice success story from Hoodie that we really like to tell. Shout out to Charlotte. Thanks for all your work.
Awesome. Cool. So go ahead.
Yeah, I would have a shout out myself. Just very recently, this week, I had a very great talk with Caroline. Caroline ADA on Twitter. Caroline just got hired by GitHub, and she's working on community tools and anti-harassment tools at GitHub. And we discussed together around like how can we improve our community tools, because of course Hudi, we have a lot of interest in that. And I heard a podcast with her at Code Newbie, where she was talking that this is something she wants to look into. And she just tweeted today that she's looking for other open source projects who would like to discuss with her what we can do in this field. So she kind of wants to put together a task force, which is amazing. And I love that GitHub themselves have so much interest in that. So please, if you're involved in an open source project, and you know, if community management or the open source community in general is close to your heart and you use GitHub, reach out to or answer Caroline on Twitter and make sure to be part of this discussion. I think this is the best thing we can do right now.
Awesome. So where can people find out more about yourself and Hudi, and maybe even do their first pull request on the Hudi project?
Okay, so the best thing to do is the Hudi website. It's hud.ie. And when you go to hud.ie/chat, you can join our chat either via IRC or Slack. And in the Hudi chat, there are people all the time. And if you just go there and say like, hey, I would like to contribute to Hudi, what can I do? That's the perfect way. And we will help you and to find whatever you would like to contribute to. Then follow your first PR on Twitter for sure. And if you want to talk to me, I am gr2m on Twitter. So just ping me on Twitter and I'm happy to have short calls with you anytime of any questions. Maybe that just one small little thing that I forgot that works very well for us. When we have new contributors to Hudi, especially recurring contributors, I like to do a 10-minute call with them.
Oh, wow.
So I do like a video call with them and introduce myself, they introduce themselves, and it works wonders. It's only 10 minutes of your time and it just removes all the anonymity of, you know, our RSC and Slack chats. People know whom they're working with. People really feel that we are serious, that we appreciate them. Mm-hmm. And it works wonders. And this is something that every open source project can start right away. Even, I mean, of course, you can't do it with every new contributor. Just do as many as you can. It's a lot of fun. I can highly recommend it.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your experiences and vision for the open source community. I really appreciate it. It's really cool to hear what you guys have done and what you're where you're going, and I really appreciate your time.
All right. I have one more shout-out.
Yeah, definitely.
Offline First, we started Offline First 3 years ago, and we are working together with others to create the first event now. So there will be the Offline Camp on June 24 to 26 in New York, Jewett, New York. It's close to Boston and New York. It's limited only to 30 places. It's, you know, out in the woods, offline, with very nice people. Please go there. Like, if you want to come, apply, and we will reach out to you.
Awesome.
And yeah, thanks so much, James, for having me today and for giving me the opportunity to talk about our efforts at Hudi.
Yeah, it's great to hear it, so thank you.